Welcome to Voices of Love Freedom.
Talk Radio.
Well, we've all heard the old song, let's have a little talk with Jesus, and that's about the same to me as let's spend a little time with Jesus this morning and see what he's got going on and what he wants to see going on in our lives. So, hope it's been a great week. It's only Tuesday, I guess, so not much could have went wrong. So we're just going to sit down here and praise the Lord a little bit and just see what's next, right? That's what we do here of a morning. So as I look at the Bible, a thought popped in my head there yesterday. We were going through some things, and, you know, in the Bible, we take all these things that happen for granted. We don't realize that, you know, somebody had the option of going or not going. Now, we can look at God and say, well, God knew who would and who wouldn't, and there's some truth in that, of course. But sometimes when people don't do what they're supposed to do in the Bible, guess what? The devil there, he gets an opportunity. The devil gets an opportunity to get involved in things because he discourages us from doing what we're supposed to be doing or what we should be doing. I thought about Jonah over there. If you've ever read the book of Jonah, we could all say, well, Jonah spent 3 days in the body of the whale. Well, there was something else Jonah should have been doing before then, but Jonah said, I don't think so. And I think that sometimes in our lives as Christians today, especially in the United States where we really haven't made, I mean, there is some persecution and there's some problems, but we really don't stand up against anything. And, you know, we pull out all these Bible verses to justify it, you know. But at the end of the day, we're called to be bold for Jesus Christ. To be bold not in a crazy way or be bold in just, well, I don't know. One place it does say be drunk with the Holy Spirit or something like that. So, you know, we're supposed to be willing to step out and to go and to do and to, you know, fight for the things of Jesus. And I thought about Jonah. God comes to Jonah. He says, Jonah, I want you to go into Nineveh, preach to these people. Now, that's a place where Jonah could have easily gotten himself killed, and God still wanted him to go. So it tells me that from a very early point in this Bible, and we'll go back and look at Moses and Noah and a few others here, but Jonah here, okay, Jonah was asked to risk his life to go to people that Jonah didn't really care for. So how much more should we do for somebody we do like? Well, that's a different story, of course, or a different lesson. But when you stop and think about the things out there that are going on in this world today and how we're already in a position where nobody wants to be embarrassed or nobody wants to stand up and nobody wants to march on the town square, you know. That's what makes what the teachers did such an awesome thing is because it's hard to get people to go and do anything. So Jonah's told to go to Nineveh. Now Jonah knows if he goes over to Nineveh and starts preaching that he represents the one true God. So he knows that if he goes over and starts preaching, people are going to change their lives. People are going to want a relationship with this God. Now, this relates to worldwide politics and the things that are going on today. In the worldwide political scheme, okay, what's going to happen here is, you know, Trump's meeting with this one over here in North Korea, and he's mad at this one up here and whatever. Well, we used to just take all the stuff from people. And that's the problem in life is it can't be wishy-washy, and you can't just say whichever way the wind blows will go and things like that. So here's Jonah. Let's get back to Jonah. What's Jonah going to do? Well, Jonah's going to fool God. You ever think about doing that? You ever think about fooling God? How in the world do you fool God? Well, number one, you don't. Here's what Jonah does. Jonah is, let's say, to the east. Jonah says, not only will I not go to the east, because I want God to judge these people. I want God to kill every one of them and take them out, and that's the end of the story. So Jonah says, if Nineveh's to the east, I'm just going to go to the west. Well, you and I know the rest of the story. Well, let me tell you what else happens in this. If you go to the end of the book of Jonah, Jonah's still tore up about it. He still wants God's judgment to rain down on Nineveh. He's not interested in people getting saved. He don't care what else is going on. All he wants is God's judgment. I tell you what, you and me got to be careful today. We got to be careful because somehow I got to be bold. Let me give you the verse. It says, I send you forth as sheep amidst the wolves. Well, a sheep against the wolf is nothing, but he says this. Jesus said, he said, I send you forth as sheep amidst the wolves. Be ye therefore wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. We're not supposed to be running into stuff blind or be ignorant about situations. We're supposed to have a good idea of what needs to happen. We're supposed to have a good idea of God's master plan. You see? And the thing is, what makes your preacher so aggravating, or what makes your these Old Testament prophets, what makes their heart broken? It's just to see the lack of response from people. Because everybody's got their own gauge set on what you're going to give to Jesus. And I hate to tell you this, but when I roll over to Exodus chapter 20, it says, have no other God before me. So to put anything else before Jesus Christ would be wrong. But I'll tell you something else that I see in there. I don't see the church in the Ten Commandments. But it's in there to be, do not forsake the assembling of yourself together. But guess what? Since Jesus has come, every day is Jesus' day. Every day is a day for you and me to be together, to fellowship with Jesus, because where two or three are gathered together in his name, he will be in the midst. So we can have a Bible study like this every morning. Follow me? So there you go. Now let's look at something else. You say, well, Nineveh, or Jonah, he doesn't want to go to Nineveh, so he goes the other day. He gets to think about it for 3 days in the body of the whale. God spews him out on dry land. Now, Jonah does go, even though he doesn't want to, he goes. But let's take a look at Noah. Everybody knows the story of Noah. What did he do? He built the ark. What's so crazy about somebody building the ark? He was the only one building boats at the time. How do you know? Well, because it hadn't rained. You don't do a lot of boating where there are no lakes, no bodies of water or whatever, you know. So they had no idea when the rain started what was going on. Well, listen, about the time the rain got up about knee-deep, I'm figuring out a lot of people started saying, hey, Noah, we do recognize that preaching that you're doing, and we do want to know more about that. God, now what's the plan? And Noah said, the door is shut, and the door that God shuts, no man can open it. Now, the good news is the door that God does open, no man can shut that either. So when God is in charge of the door, you got to pay attention because the door won't always be open. Second thing is when the door is closed, okay, when the door is closed, what about it? When that door is closed, it's closed forever. But the door's open now for you to come to Jesus. But that is another story. So here's Noah. He's building on this boat. Everybody thinks he's lost his mind. He's talking about a great flood. He's talking about the salvation of the Lord. He's talking about getting in the ark of safety, getting in a position to be able to do something for Jesus Christ, being willing, being able to go and do those kinds of things. Now, here's where we're at. We know the story of Noah. Noah got his family on the boat. Man, that is fantastic. Thank God Noah built the ark, or you and me maybe wouldn't be here today. God would have had another plan, I'm sure, but it wouldn't have been the same for you and me. Now, let's talk about somebody else. Let's talk about a man named Moses who had fled Egypt. He saw all the problems that his people were going through. It pained him, but he feared for his life where he had killed the Egyptian, and it meant certain death for him. So what does Moses do? He flees. I tell you, sometimes we don't realize how fortunate we are that God sends somebody for us or sends somebody back to get us. Nobody ever thinks about that. I think about a joke you hear all the time about the guy that got to the pearly gates and he was mad at St. Peter. St. Peter said, "Hey, come on in." He said, "Wait a second. Before I come in," he said, "I drowned on the roof of my house." St. Peter said, "Yeah, we know." He's like, "Well, Jesus said he'd never leave me nor forsake me." And St. Peter said, "Well, hold on here a second. You know, remember when that rowboat came by and you said, 'No, God will protect me'? Oh, yeah. Well, do you remember when, what else was it? Something else came by and you said, 'God will protect me'? Yeah. And you remember when the helicopter came by and the water was about to go over the roof and the helicopter guy said, 'Grab the chain, grab the ladder,' you know. And you said, 'God will protect me.' Well, God was trying to protect you. God sent someone after you. He sent someone to save you. He sent all these different things. And you missed the signs. Boy, I tell you what, it's going to be scary to miss the signs. But here's Moses. He flees into the desert over there in the land of Midian. He meets up with Zipporah, I believe was her name. And they start a family. Everything's going smooth. Moses, through his being trained in the house of Pharaoh, is a pretty sharp guy. He immediately starts showing rewards for the Sheikh of Midian, I believe, which is Zipporah's dad, and had many flocks. So life is good for Moses. And God calls on Moses. He said, "Moses, come on over. Come over here and let's do a little something." Now what? Now Moses is called. He goes to do a little something. And he realizes the people aren't into it. So he says, "God, what am I going to do with these people? They don't listen to me, and Pharaoh wants to kill me." And God says, "I'm going to handle this. Just keep on moving forward." Now, what do you end up getting? Well, we know that Egypt ultimately is pretty much destroyed, or Pharaoh is, because when they pull out there out of Egypt and the 2 million head for the Red Sea, Pharaoh gives chase. And the Red Sea's opened up by the power of the Almighty God, and as they're moving through the Red Sea, all of a sudden it crashes down. Pharaoh and all the chariots and all the soldiers are lost. Man, oh man, oh man. How about that? Now, what's the moral of the story? Moses grows after he does what he does to such an extent that at one specific prayer I remember, he asks God to lay the sins of the people over on Moses. He's grown that close to him. Folks, that's leadership there. You see, that's leadership. Now, we're going to close with this one. Sometimes it looks like a narrow way to escape. The angels of the Lord appear to Abraham, and they talk about going to destroy a city, Sodom and Gomorrah, two cities, I guess, if you go back through history. They're going to go, and destroy this city. And Abraham knows his nephew Lot's down there. He said, "But what about this city? Would you spare the whole city if there are 50 decent people down there, or 50 righteous," I think he says. The angel of the Lord said, "Sure, we'll spare the whole city if there's 50 righteous." See, sometimes when you look around and you think everything's good and you're sneaking something over on somebody, there's nothing. You're not doing that. Okay, when you think that you're sneaking something over on somebody, you know what's really going on out there? What's really happening out there is that you're sitting in a situation, okay, where God wants to really move in your life, and you won't move. Now, think on it like this. Here's Lot. He's down here in Sodom and Gomorrah. He's sitting at the gate when the angels of the Lord come in. He knows what kind of city he's living in. He says, "Hurry, get in my house. You know, hope nobody sees you." And then they start coming knocking on the door. Lot says, "Let me send my daughters out." to you. He knows who's visiting him. So what does he do? He offers his own daughters over that. Now, there's a lot of symbolism, or not symbolism, maybe. Well, maybe symbolism, but there's a lot of reality in the fact that he recognized God, that he recognized that it's better to send his own daughters out to suffer at the hands of these lunatics, sexual lunatics or perverts or whatever you want to call them. Now, Lot understands the time is imminent to leave the city. So the angel of the Lord says, Lot, get your family. So I don't know how many more he might have had or what he did, but it ends up being Lot and his wife and two girls. So the angel of the Lord says, leave this city. But as you leave this city, do one thing. Do not look back. Because as sure as you do, you will turn to a pillar of salt. So what are we doing? Goes out, leaves. They start up the mountain. The apocalypse of the event happens, and the brimstone's flying, and the smoke, and the yelling, and the screaming, and the destruction. And Lot's wife can't leave it behind. She's got to take one more look back at where she was. There's so many people today looking back to what used to be. Well, I tell you what, we buried a dear relative this week. Man, we thought about things, and in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, it talks about there is a season for everything. Oh, there's a time to look back and a time to remember things. But you know what there's a time for is to go forward and do the things that God wants us to do, because the night comes when no man can work. It's a lot to be thought about, isn't it? The night comes when no man can work. Man, oh man, think on that for just a little bit. There's three or four men we've talked about from the Bible. Some wanted to go, some didn't. Some didn't want to go there, but wanted to go. I mean, you know, what we want to do, what makes us happy, is not necessarily the way God's got it lined up. Man, we got to really be careful with a situation like that. Listen, I will do anything I can for you to get saved and help you any way I can, but you got to take the first step. You've got to jump out there and grow and do. So I wish you the best. I hope that beyond hope that you can be what Jesus wants you to be. It ain't what Brooke Lunsford wants. It's not what your preacher wants, or your favorite Sunday school teacher, or your favorite TV teacher. The key to this whole thing is you being what Jesus wants you to be, you being willing to accept the call, and even if you were to do something as dumb as what Jonah did, God's still going to give you another opportunity to do the right thing. But at some point, the right thing has to become our predominant thing. You know what I mean? At some point, we have to have enough Bible knowledge in us to do the things that are necessary to help people get saved. I'm wishing you the best. I hope you have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.